tale told by an idiot. Hey, you want to get your little fucking face punched out, little cracker boy? Come up here. Come up here, little Billy boy. I'm sick of your shit. To get up where a man can be seen. Daddy's pretty little face. Suck my ass, blue boy. Give me danger.
Saturday, no one's there. I'm waiting for the bus to come pick me up at the bus stop downtown.
Because you want to ride.
Yeah, I want to ride. And this dude, there's hundreds of seats around this place, man.
Mm-hmm.
He sits two seats beside me. Okay? I'm like, all right. Then all of a sudden, he pulls out a pop and takes drinks of it, and he's like,
he just pulled out the pop out of his pants?
It was like in his pocket, it was a bottle of pop. He drank it. He's like, nah. I was like, man. He did like six more times. And the seventh time, I was like, looked over and I was like, man, do you really got to be doing that?
The seventh time was just one too many times.
Yeah, it annoyed the crap out of me, man. like, you had to taste it. You had to make that noise, and man.
You're a very irritable man.
Well, today I was.
Yes, and why was that?
Had to work.
The man was trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah, it was a bad day toward the end.
And so what happened when you snapped at this guy?
He's like, I really didn't know it was bothering somebody. I go, well, it's bothering me.
Because you didn't have a pop.
Yeah, I didn't have a pop. I was thirsty. He's making me thirsty. And the real reason, he just pissed me off making those noises.
Wow, that was a great story.
That's awesome.
The history of this show, I think that was the lamest story you've ever told on here. I mean, we had stories about you getting stabbed and you hitting nurses in the face with your penis, and we've come to this.
Oh, I forgot about that. Nurses in the face with a penis.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we've come to this, just a guy at the bus stop annoying you. Drinking a pop.
This is everybody at the bus stop was annoying me. Even the bus driver annoyed me today. It's like she couldn't stop eating. She stopped at every single damn gas station on the way.
She's like, ooh, they got taquitos there.
Go get me a hot dog. Gotta have a wiener in my mouth.
While she's driving the bus. She's hanging out of her mouth like a cigarette.
Look at it.
Wow, that's interesting. And so what else was going on?
Not much. Yeah.
We should just record you listening to television. Or just
staring at the television with no sound. Watching the Aliens versus Predator.
You're just making up your own dialogue to it.
I'm turning it into the porno.
Like, you look pretty hot. That chick is pretty hot.
Yes, I like when she stands and the camera's behind her.
Did you ever think that when you saw this movie originally, Aliens versus Predator, that, you know, you had two great science fiction franchises? You had Aliens and you had Predator. And when you combine them, you think that it would create a bastard child?
No.
I mean, it's like if you had two good-looking parents, right? And they came out with an ugly kid. That's what that movie reminds me of.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how can you have a movie with aliens and predators, two of the, you know, two great science fiction franchises, and you somehow fuck it up?
Yeah, and still fucking it up.
Still fucking it up. Yeah, they made a sequel that was even worse.
Requiem or whatever it's called.
Requiem. Requiem?
Yeah.
I never even watched it. Was that any good?
That was worse than this one. Seriously, I watched this one, like, I kind of liked this one. I watched it, like, maybe 20 times.
They didn't have a really hot chick in that one.
Yeah, and that one, I couldn't even go sit through the first run of it.
Actually, isn't RoboCop in this movie? Doesn't he show up at the very end? No, and I'm... What the fuck am I thinking of RoboCop?
No,
the fucking dude that was, not Bishop.
It was Bishop. Yeah, he's in this. That played the robot in Aliens.
Yeah.
RoboCop.
No, was it Bishop or Ash? Or Ash was the robot from the first movie. The first Alien.
Okay, yeah, then it was Ash. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I'm fucking confused.
One of those cyborgs.
Yeah, there's two cyborgs.
Or androids, whatever the hell they are.
What were they called in Blade Runner? Replicants?
Yeah, I think so.
Wasn't Harrison Ford in Blade Runner, wasn't he a replicant?
No, he was... I don't know. I watched that movie probably twice. It was just long to me for some reason.
That's supposed to be one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time, and you're just not into it?
I played the video game on the computer.
That was Snatcher.
Oh, yeah, Snatcher. That rocked.
Snatcher. Man, if you would have kept that copy of Snatcher...
I'll be rich.
Well, you'd have 70 bucks.
I'd be rich.
You'd be ghetto rich. But no, I mean, for a Sega CD game, that's not bad for resale.
I remember, what was that? Shoot the Tubes, Dog Meat. What was that called?
Oh, Sewer Shark?
Sewer Shark, that rocked.
What was that game with the chick from Different Strokes? Night Trap.
Ben had that one.
Night Trap. I remember everybody got their panties in a bunch because they had, I think it was sorority girls in, like they were in 90s, and they were playing, they were playing like guitar with their rackets, and they thought that it was corrupting the youth of America.
Night Trap.
Yeah, that game actually was like a part of Senate hearings and all that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, part of
with Mortal Kombat.
With Mortal Kombat. Yep. Yeah. It was supposed to be the downfall of us youth.
Man, we fucked up.
We did fuck up. That did corrupt me.
I liked killing people.
Yeah, because at that age, I really hadn't seen. That was the worst thing that I ever saw. Night Trap. That was the I discovered sex through that game.
Night Trap.
Didn't when that game came out, it made you want to run out and go buy a Sega CD.
That didn't make me want to buy it. Lunar made me want to buy my Sega CD.
Like Lunar.
Yeah, that role playing game.
Well, you know what the thing about Lunar is that I think the company that made Lunar, that was the only game that they ever had because they keep re-releasing it.
Yeah, they have it on PSP now.
They have it on PSP. They came out with it on... they re-released it on the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PSP. I really think that that's all they have.
And they had a sequel, Lunar 2.
And then they released that too.
Lunar 2, Return of Blue.
I don't understand. I mean, it was...
Snatcher, I think that was the best Sega CD game out there, though.
Yeah, I mean...
That game rocked.
Yeah, I mean, hell, if people are still, willing to pay $70 for it, $70, $80, I've seen some prices on eBay for about $100 for that game.
I mean, can you even find a Sega CD to play it on?
Yeah, I mean, there are people that sell their old Sega CDs on eBay. You get it for like $30 if you wanted it.
Man.
Yeah. Well, anyways, welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
This is the Monolith Podcast. This is the second show that we've done in 2 months, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're doing a show because we want to.
Yeah.
We want to connect with the audience.
I want to keep in touch with the peoples.
With the peeps. I'm your host, Don, and today I'm joined by Chuck.
Hey, everybody.
And we're recording this show on a night where we watched a foreign movie, a movie that was not in English.
I had to read, everybody.
Yes. It was a movie based on a book, and we did our fair share of reading tonight. The movie was called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Is that the name of the movie?
Yes.
Go get the box.
All right, hang on.
Hold on. He's got to go get the box. We want to make sure that we get this title right for this movie, because we do know that this book has quite the following, and... Am I right?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yes, that is what we reviewed. This movie has just tremendous praise. On the back of the box, Peter Travers from Rolling Stone writes, "This dynamite thriller shivers with suspense. In a word, wow."
Wow.
Now, Chuck, you hadn't heard of this movie before tonight. What'd you think of it?
It was a good detective investigating movie, I think. I was kind of lost at the beginning, like, what the hell is she doing type thing, you know?
The girl with the dragon tattoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, she was investigating this guy that was
doing something.
Yeah, he got sentenced to 3 months in jail for writing some fucked up shit.
Writing some fucked up shit. He was like, this shit's fucked up. You going to jail.
And then it seemed like she got obsessed over this guy.
Mm. And shit happened.
Yeah, a lot of crazy shit started happening after that.
Just craziness. But yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, I heard about the book, and I didn't even know they made a movie about it until this week when I went to Best Buy and saw this movie there. And so I bought it. But yeah, I heard of the book. The book is supposed to be dynamite.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, in one word, wow. That's what the book is supposed to be. But
well, they always say the book's better than the movie, so.
We read a book watching that fucking movie.
Yeah, we did.
The movie was over two and a half hours. It was almost 3 hours. To me, the movie reminded me of an episode of Law and Order. You know?
Yeah.
That's what the movie reminded me of. I mean, it was good, but I mean, it's nothing that I haven't seen before. I mean, it's every other murder mystery that you've ever seen. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't anything like, I don't know. I was expecting more, I guess.
They had good, exciting parts. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They keep you, when you think it's about to, you're about to get bored of it, then something happens that gets you interested in it again.
It was paced well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was paced well. Any time that it was getting into a lull, something happened and it kept you interested. So, I did realize that it was 2.5 hours because I kept fucking looking at the clock. But yeah, I mean, it was a good movie. We're going to go ahead and do an in-depth review of this movie as we're wont to do on this show. Because really, that's how we establish ourselves from the other podcasts that talk about movies, is that we review a movie in detail, in depth.
Yeah.
We talk about everything that we can remember about the movie. We spoil the plot. So if you've never heard of this book or this movie and you don't want the plot to be spoiled for you, too fucking bad.
Get the hell off the station.
Yes. You can leave now, or you can fast forward, because for the next 20 or 30 minutes, we're going to spoil the plot. So the movie opens with this journalist on trial. He is sentenced to 3 months in prison for libel against a Swedish businessman. This journalist accused the Swedish businessman of gun running in the third world. He's doing some bad shit. And I guess the journalist couldn't prove that his story was true, and so he was found guilty of libel. Now, as an American, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have freedom of the press over here, you know, and fuck, if everybody that wrote a bad libelous story over here was sent to prison, you know, that would put the National Enquirer out of business. That'd
oh,
put,
yeah.
You know, TMZ, TMZ, they have those jerk offs with the camera right in front of you.
TV Guide. And
yeah. You ever watch TMZ?
No. Well, I flip by it every once in a while.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of douchebags in a newsroom talking about video footage that they got from other douchebags that push these cameras like 3 inches from famous people's faces and ask them like dickhead questions. Like they're like, it's like, so why'd you get divorced, huh? Were you treating your wife bad, huh?
They just want to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, they're looking for the celebrity to beat their ass. Like, so you weren't fucking your wife good, huh? Heard you couldn't get up.
Heard you got a limp dick.
Heard you got a limp dick.
Yeah.
Think she was disappointed, huh? Yeah, but anyways, no. This journalist was found guilty of libel, and he was sentenced to 3 months of prison. And so the story cuts to this journalist saying his goodbyes to his news staff and
his old lady.
His old lady. This
really
this,
old lady.
Yeah, this lady. This lady had the hots for the journalist, but the journalist.
She acted like a teenage bitch, though.
His
woman.
Yeah, his woman at the magazine that he worked at. He said that he was leaving because you know he didn't want the magazine to go down, and she looked like his mother. he was like putting her down easy. He was like, come on, baby, you know, we had fun while, but you know, you got to go home. But anyways, while he was doing this, somebody was tailing him, and it was the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Da-da-da.
She was spying on him. She was tracking him like a hunter. The reason why she was doing this is she was getting paid by somebody to find out what she could about this journalist.
She's actually a hacker, right?
Yeah, she's a hacker. She hacked into this journalist's
everything,
computer. She tailed him.
Bank accounts.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah, and the girl with the dragon tattoo. Describe what she looked like, Chucky.
Emo kid. An emo girl.
And with the spikes and
the 12-inch heel shoes. And
she was more like punk rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she had like the nose ring and shit like that. But anyways, she was
like a dude.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. Yeah, she really did look like a dude. I mean, I'm not just saying that. In the face, she didn't. In the face, she looked like.
Every once in a while, I saw a dude in the face.
But anyways, she was tracking this guy. She was tracking the journalist for. You didn't really know who the guy was. He was. You knew who he was working for, but. She was tracking it for this guy that was wanting information on the journalist. And so she gave this information to this man who looked like Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah, he did. And this guy was wanting information on the journalist to find out if he was reputable. Because this journalist, as I said earlier, he was convicted of libel. And the story got a lot of press in Sweden. It was like a national story. Because the guy that he was trying to expose was a big, successful businessman, whatever.
Now, was the guy he was exposing, was it part of the people that he's going to be involved with?
Derek? I don't think so. I don't think that okay. The people that that he's investigating at the...
I didn't catch on to that.
Yeah, I think it's totally separate. But anyways, the guy that was asking for the information from the hacker, the girl with the dragon tattoo. He took this information and took it to the guy that he was working for. Actually, we forgot to mention that at the very, very, very beginning of the movie, there was an old man sitting at his desk, and he got a letter from Hong Kong.
Yes, in the picture frame of the stick of weed.
Yeah. He got a picture, and it was like a... I don't know what it was. It was like a flower made out of grass in a frame, and that's how the movie started. But this old man who got the picture frame, he was the one that hired the Dick Cheney looking guy to have the girl with the dragon tattoo tail the journalist. And so the guy that looks like Dick Cheney reached out to the journalist and said, "Hey, I got a proposal for you. Why don't you meet me at the so-and-so, and I'll pick you up." And so the journalist meets with a guy that looks like Dick Cheney, and they drive to this small village where they meet the old man who lives in this big-ass mansion.
Big-ass compound.
Yeah, it's like a five-story building. It was huge. And so the journalist meets with the old man, and the old man says, "Do you remember me?" He's like,
"I'm your daddy."
I don't know what relation the journalist was to the old man, but the journalist actually stayed with at the old man's compound when he was a child.
Oh, his dad worked in the mill.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch
and
that.
And his mom stood there to help work at the house, and then that's where the kid came into play with when he was little.
Okay. And so the old man shows the journalist a picture of him as a boy, and he's like, "Oh, I remember now. It's all coming back to me." And then he has this flashback, and then the journalist remembers that he was there at that same place as a kid. And so the old man says, "Look at this picture of this young girl." And he's like, "Do you remember her?" And he's like, "Yes, I do remember her." The journalist realized that picture of that girl was the same girl that babysitted him when he was a kid. And so the old man said, "Well, she's been missing for 40 years." And the guy was like, what? And so the old man tells the journalist, I have a proposal for you. I want you to find out what happened to this girl, and I will pay you handsomely. And the journalist was like, wait a minute, I'm going to prison in 6 months. And he was like, this case has been unsolved for 40 years. How the hell do you expect me to solve it in 6 months? And the old man says, well, we won't have a plot for the movie if you don't do it in 6 months. So you gotta do it.
So that's what made me kind of laugh about the movie. He has to sit and think about him going to prison for 6 months.
Yeah.
And he's only going to be in prison for 3 months. That's just crazy to me.
Well, the thing that got me was that, you know, that this old man wanted him to solve this murder that it's been unsolved for 40 years.
Yeah.
And this guy solves it in a couple months.
Two weeks.
Basically 2 weeks. He solves it in 2 weeks. He solves, like, every mystery that's happened on this island in 2 weeks. But, yeah. So the old man says, you can solve it in 6 months. I'll pay you handsomely. And the journalist is like, okay, I'll do it. So the journalist moves in to this old man's, like, cabin. This old man had, like, fucking five houses on his land.
Yeah.
And so the
every scene that you see this guy in, he's, like, shivering, and the old man wearing a big-ass parka.
Yeah, that was the thing about this journalist. In every scene in this movie, the journalist had, like, a members-only jacket on or a light windbreaker on. And, like, everybody else had parkas on, and this is Sweden, so it's fucking cold. There's ice everywhere, and it's like this guy is like an immigrant or something, like
me.
Yeah, it's like he didn't know how cold Sweden was. It's like how do you not know that it's cold in Sweden? You've been here your entire life. But anyways, the journalist moves into this little shed at the old man's house. And he starts doing his investigation. And I don't really remember what happened scene for scene at this part. I mean, I know he asked a lot of questions. He asked the cop what was going on. He gets some background on the family. The old man starts telling him what's up with his crazy-ass family. Now, his crazy-ass family, why don't you explain what was going on with the old man's crazy-ass family? Because this was something that I think that if he would have told the journalist at the very first time that he met him, about his crazy ass family, I think he could have figured out everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but explain this crazy ass family.
This crazy ass family, okay, on this compound, the whole family lives on this compound. Everybody lives on, and the old man took the journalists around, said, hey, this is where my brother lives here, up in this house.
He was a Nazi.
Yeah, and he died last summer in the lake, and yeah,
like 60 years ago.
Yeah. His other three brothers were Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one wasn't.
Yeah, and he wasn't. Yeah. He was the good boy.
Well, he might have been the bad boy if the entire family was Nazis.
Yeah,
if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not believing in killing Jews and stuff.
He's like, you ain't part of the family.
Yeah, and then they had one of them had a crazy wife. She looked pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was actually the crazy wife was the mother of the girl that the journalist was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah. Her.
But that really wasn't, as far as in the movie, they showed the crazy mother once.
And, yeah, she wanted a piece of the journalist.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, but yeah, he showed the journalist everybody that was on his compound. They're all family. It was the Vonger family.
It's like they owned that island.
Yeah, and they were like some big, rich corporation. The old man, I guess he was the head of the family. And he suspected that somebody in his family was responsible for the girl's disappearance. And this girl, by the way, was his niece.
Yeah.
And he suspected that somebody in his family was responsible because I guess he just didn't like his family. And anyways, he said that it had to be somebody in his family because
The bridge was blocked by the wreck.
Yeah, because when this girl went missing, the day she went missing, the bridge, the only bridge in or out of town was blocked.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
The old man thinks that somebody went after the girl because that was a way of getting him. And so anyways, the journalist is sitting there doing his thing. And then the girl with the dragon tattoo, for some odd reason, she just starts, like, hacking him.
Yeah.
Still. I mean, she's not getting paid to trail this guy, but she's still, like, hacking into his computer and still, like, snooping in on his business and shit.
Yeah, she has a pretty fucked up life too. That's what I was wondering why she was involved in, because it was like two separate stories at the beginning.
Yeah.
Her and her probation officer.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, I'll let you take that.
Yeah, she when she was coming into play in the movie, she was after she got done giving the old man the information.
Mm-hmm.
Her story was she got a call from the probation office saying that her probation officer had a stroke and he's dead.
Yeah, she got a new one. Yeah.
So.
But they called him Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians.
Yeah.
And so she had to go down and meet this new Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And he had control over her money, her whole life.
Yeah, he basically said, she's like, do you have a job? She's like, yes. He was like, okay, your paycheck's going to be deposited into an account that I control. Basically, your rent's going to be taken out, and everything else you'll have to ask for.
Yeah.
And you'll have to ask me for it.
And her last guardian was pretty lenient on letting her do what she wants as long as she don't get in trouble.
Yeah. And now this guy had ulterior motives.
Yeah. Yes. Very ulterior motive.
Yes. Now, why don't you describe this guy with his porn stash and everything?
Let's just say he's a very
creepy.
Creepy and just creepy.
That was perfect description.
Yeah,
right?
Creepy. That's perfect.
Creepy. Yeah.
He, what happened? Oh, she was walking down the subway and.
After she got out of the Guardian's office.
Yeah, Guardian's office, yeah. And her computer got off. Messed up by these gang members that jumped her. Scottish punks.
Swedish punks.
She bumped into one of them, and he came back and tried to choke her from behind, and she was kicking two of their asses. And
man, the streets of Sweden are rough.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, the women kick your ass there.
Yeah,
and her laptop got messed up, and she needed money out of her account to get a new computer so she can keep on hacking.
Keep on hacking.
Yeah, and she went to her guardian.
Yeah.
And asked, "I need 12,000 rubles or whatever."
Rubles.
And he's like, "What you gonna do for these 12,000 rubles?" And he just automatically started rubbing his penis right behind her head.
Yeah, he forced himself on this
forced
young lady.
Himself in her mouth.
Yeah.
Like it.
And she went to town, though.
Yeah, she finished the job, and she only got less than the amount she needed.
Yeah, actually, it was funny, because after that scene, they showed her, like deep-throating herself with soap to get the guy out of her mouth.
You know, the hand cleaning soap in the public bathrooms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she was using.
That nasty soap.
Yeah, but what was funny was that the shot that they did was that they showed it from behind, and you knew what was going on, you know. He was getting a blowjob, but then they just did a fast cut to where she had two fingers, like, deep-throating herself with soap.
Yeah.
I was like, that had to be intentional. Well, yeah. It was intentional because the director fucking did it. But, I mean,
I want it like that.
Yeah, that's the director's like, okay, this is what was happening, really. Because, I don't know. I mean, if you were wanting to get that shit, I mean, wouldn't you just gargle or something? Because that's, you know.
She wanted to scrub it clean.
Yeah. She was fingering herself in her mouth. And then she, yeah, okay. So she goes to that guy's office. She asks for the money.
Yeah, and then she got less than what she needed. And she went back home, and was thinking and thinking and thinking. And
she's like, this sucks.
She called him back up saying, I need to see you. And
I need to see you.
No, she didn't call him back up. She went to his house.
Yeah, she went to his house.
She went to his house, and he's like, you needed a call. And she's like, I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited her in. She's like, I ain't going to give you blowjobs every time I need money. He goes, well, what are you going to do about it then? And so she's willing to give it up.
Yeah, she was getting ready to give it up to him.
Yeah, but she had an ulterior motive,
yes,
too.
Yes, she was sneaky.
Yeah, very sneaky.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he just co-cocked her in the side of the head. I mean, she's willing to give it, and he co-cocked her inside the head. She fell on the bed. He started handcuffing her.
Think of the scene from Pulp Fiction in the pawn shop.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This, yeah. It was like
in the basement in the pawn shop.
Yeah, it was like that scene, but like 10 times more graphic and worse.
Let's just say her O-ring ain't factory stable no more.
Yeah, literally after this scene, she was walking like she was walking funny after. Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty brutal, actually, to tell you the truth. But
she couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
Maybe made that point clear.
Yeah, actually, he's not joking about that. She couldn't sit down because it was, yeah.
And her ulterior motive in that whole part was she had a video camera in her bag.
Yes.
She's going to set him up and she...
She set him up.
Yeah, well, yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And then she went back to his apartment. And he's like, oh, you're back for some more, huh? And she tasered his ass in the neck and knocked him out, tied him up. He was butt-ass naked.
Yeah.
And we forgot to mention that he had, when he pulled out the handcuffs in his bed, that he had a little buddy of his in his drawer.
Somebody to get it done when he can't get it done.
Yeah.
Or maybe he uses it on stuff, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a dildo. And, he was butt naked on the floor, all tied up and everything, and she's telling him her rules are what's going to happen.
Mm.
Either he's going to play by her rules, or she's going to send the copies of the little movie she made to the police and the media.
Yes, and then you forgot the.
Yeah, and before she said that, she decided to stick his little buddy straight up his butt,
and without lube.
Without lube.
Yeah, she
dry shoved it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't show anything, but it's like a mental picture, you know. And then she put the video of him actually raping her.
Yeah, made her watch it because I guess he raped her for like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what she said. 2 hours. So she put that on the DVD, and then she just walked out of the room and sat in the living room.
Yeah, let him see what he done to her, and
she made him think about it.
When she came back in and got her bag open and pulled out a tattoo gun.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I forgot.
She tattooed on him. I'm a sadist pig and a rapist. And it was not a very good tattoo either.
Yeah, it was like a 2-year-old that did it.
A 2-year-old with a tattoo gun. And then she they really didn't conclude that she. Well, I guess you know.
Did she get her money?
Well, yeah, they didn't actually show him giving her the money. I mean, she set out the ground rules for how it was going to work after that. Actually explained that. We forgot that part.
Yeah.
When she came back in.
She set out the rules. You're going to go by my rules or the media and send a disc.
Yeah. She said that you'll give me my money whenever I want. You'll never contact me again. In 1 year, you'll contact the courts and tell them that I've been a perfect parolee and that I should be relinquished from custody.
Whatever. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that part.
all that other like 10 minutes.
I was still thinking about the other stuff that happened. I was like, whoa,
you're still in shock.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was pretty intense. And actually, that was like the first 30 minutes of the movie was just her story, and then the journalist story. There were two like separate stories, but they eventually meshed when you would see like the reason why she needed the money was because she wanted to keep hacking this guy's computer. But when she got in the fight in the subway, her computer got busted, so that's why she needed the money.
Yeah,
you know what, if this was an American movie, they probably would have cut out the entire rape scene, that entire thing with the parole officer.
Yeah, they would.
They just probably would have showed her getting her computer busted, and then just say, I need money, I need to get this fixed. And then they would show her going to the parole officer, him being a dickhead, and then, you know, the scene later she'd have her new computer.
Yeah.
They probably would cut out all that other shit. But yeah. I don't know, that scene just showed how rough this chick had it, and how, like, she didn't put up with any bullshit, I guess.
Yeah. And that's when she decided to, after that, she got a new computer from the dude that was sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, there's a big pop. Yeah, there's a big fat guy that was sitting on the toilet that was helping her out with the computer. He was taking a dump. He was drinking a pop, all with the door open while she was sitting there using the computer.
He's like, hey, look at me.
Look at me, I'm on the toilet drinking a pop.
Yeah, I think that's when she sent an email after that.
Yeah, because she was still hacking the journalist's computer, and she noticed that the journalist had names with numbers attached to them, and the journalists couldn't figure out what the hell they were. And then she knew what exactly what they were. They're related to Bible passages,
yeah.
verses in the Bible. And so a light went off in the journalist's head, and he figured out that these passages had to do with what was going on the island. But the journalist was like, who the fuck sent me this email message, and how the fuck they get on my computer? So he went to Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney told him what was up. And actually, we forgot an important part of the story. The old man had a heart attack while the journalist was investigating all this shit, and this was around the same time that the journalist got the email from the girl with the dragon tattoo. And so Dick Cheney told the journalist about the girl with the dragon tattoo. He told the journalist everything that they hired the girl with the dragon tattoo to do. She was basically hired to hack into his computer, find out about him, find out if he was reputable, whatever, and she's still hacking into his computer. And so, anyways, the journalist goes and meets. He doesn't meet up. He just arrives unannounced at the girl with the dragon tattoo's apartment. She's in bed with a hot lady. Now, this was where I thought she looked like a dude.
Yeah.
Because she was in bed with this other chick. And I was like, man, this dude's got some pretty big shoulders. Yeah. I mean, like big traps and shoulders. And, you know, I was like, and then you're like, wait a minute, that's the chick. I was like, that isn't the chick. But then when she got up, you could see her titties. And her titties, you know,
they look like little Hershey Kisses, second Hershey Kisses.
She looked like a bodybuilder, like a female bodybuilder. Because you notice how the female bodybuilders, like, their pecs look like
huge
pecs.
Yeah, that's what I noticed.
Yeah, it looks like she, like, does, like, heavy weights.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, she was in bed with this really hot chick. With big boobies who they didn't show enough. And then she just quickly left. Because after the journalist got in there, you know, it was over for the hot chick. And actually, I was convinced that this was the only hot chick in Sweden at this point. Because every other woman that they showed in this movie was not hot. The girl with the dragon tattoo, she was kind of... She had a feminine face, but the body... She really did look like a dude.
The body wasn't cutting it.
No, she looked like a dude in the body from like the neck down. But anyways, the journalist came into the girl with the dragon tattoo's apartment, and he said, "You've been stalking me, or you've been hacking into my computer, and why you been doing this? He goes, why'd you send me the email? You knew I could find out who you are." And she really didn't have an answer. She really didn't answer.
She's scared. She's shaking.
Yeah. And so the journalist says, "Why don't you help me?" He's like, "You're already helping me." He's like, "I can pay you money." And girl with the dragon tattoo is like, "Fuck off."
And then he was like, "No, how about the police will find out that you're still hacking computers and it's very easy to trace."
Yeah. And then she said, "Okay." And so anyways, that's when the Law and Order section of the movie started. It was the journalist and the girl with the dragon tattoo, like, solving every crime that happened on this island for, like, the last 50 years. Like, from 1940 to 50... Yeah, it was really 1940s, 50s, 60s. All the murders that were happening on that island, they were able to basically solve them and connect them all to this one family. And that was a big, like, that was a big 40 minutes of the story. But
yeah, they're finding out that the... they're all had to do with animals. One had to do with animals, and one had to do with. I mean, one of them had their head chopped off and pounds of flesh taken off of them.
Yeah, it was like they were looking back at all these old murders that were happening on this island, and I don't know if it was one island or if it was just all Sweden, but it was because they were going all over the place. Remember?
Yeah, it was a big ass map.
Yeah, it was a big ass map, and they're driving all over the place, but they were looking at all these murders. And all these old murders, they were connected to these Bible verses that were in the girl's Bible that she had, that the girl with the dragon tattoo deciphered. They were all these murders were connected to Bible verses. And so they finally figured out that all these girls that were murdered, that were listed in the Bible verse of the missing girl, they all had Jewish names.
Yes.
They all had Jewish names.
And who don't like the Jews?
The Nazis don't like the Jews. Yes. And who were former Nazis? The old man's brothers. The Wenger family.
Yeah.
Who still live on his compound. And so And so they figure out that it had to be one of the Vangers that killed the girl, the missing girl that the journalist is looking for. We forgot to mention, too, that while the journalist and the girl with the dragon tattoo were discovering all these murders and all these mysteries that were going on the island, they were banging.
Oh, yes.
They were banging. Now, why don't you describe how their first meeting went? Because
the first banging meeting went down like he's laying in bed, and all of a sudden she comes over and...
You just said he, she.
I did?
Yes.
Oops. And she decides to pull off his underwear, and he's like, "What you doing?" Always what she wants. She wants his penis.
Yeah, she just... Yeah, that was really it.
Yeah, and she got on him, and she did her thing. It looked like she was having a seizure, and she finished and got off, and he's like, "Hey, what about me?" Well, he didn't say it, but that, he gave the look, like, what the hell?
Yeah, cause he gave the look that he wasn't done yet.
But she was.
She was, and she went to bed.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? She really is like a guy in that sense, because that's what guys do.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that a girl usually takes a really long time.
Yeah.
It took her like a minute.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is a high class movie. It isn't a porno.
You know what? In their little sex relationship, he was like the bitch.
He was the bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they showed another scene with those two in bed, and yeah. After they did it, she turned off the light
and rolled over.
And then he wanted to spoon with her, and she looked over at him, turned on the light. She's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "What are you still doing here? Go to bed." He's like, "I want to stay here."
Yeah.
And then
the next morning, that shit was great.
When the next morning she wakes up and he's just sitting there he's resting his head in his hand, just sitting there staring at her.
It's like he was the night before.
Yeah, just like he was the night before when she went to bed. And then they show him making her breakfast.
And he's just smiling.
And he's smiling at her. She really...
He really was the bitch.
He was the bitch. But anyways, I forget what happens. They think that the one old Nazi brother that's still alive, the two of the Nazi brothers are dead. They think one of them was the murderer, or they do think that he's the murderer, because at this point they think that the girl that was missing, that the old man wanted them to find, was murdered.
Yeah, so that's when he goes into the house.
He goes into the house. She goes to the library to do some investigating.
Yeah.
Because they were wanting to find proof that the old man did it. So she was going to go through all the business transactions and expenses.
See where he was at those times and days.
Yeah, so they were going to get some concrete evidence so they could convict his ass. And so the journalist goes and breaks into the old Nazi's house. And the old Nazi whoops his ass with a gun because he broke into his house. And the old Nazi was like, "I can kill you. You broke into my house."
And the nephew of the old Nazi stopped him.
Yeah. The nephew of the old Nazi stopped him. And at this point, the girl with the dragon tattoo, when she was in the library doing her investigation, she found out, she was putting two and two together, that the old Nazi wasn't the one that was responsible for the girl's death or disappearance. It was the nephew.
Yes.
The same nephew that helped the journalist out of the old Nazi's house. Because the nephew came into the old Nazi's house after the old Nazi had the gun on the journalist after he broke into the house. And he convinced his uncle to let him go. He's like, "Let me take care of him." You know, at this point, the journalist thought that the nephew was still his friend. Because earlier in the movie, the nephew and the journalist, they were buddy-buddy.
Yeah, they had dinner with the sister or whatever.
Yeah, they had dinner together and they were just chumming it up. He gave them some old 20-year-old scotch and they
look pretty gay doing it.
They look pretty gay together and they're giving each other the eye, and that was their moment. So at this point, when the nephew rescued the journalist from the old Nazi's house, he thought they were buddy buddy. And so the old Nazi at this point, he's like, "My nephew's a pussy." And so that was the end of the old Nazi. The journalist is taken back to the nephew's house, and the nephew's like, "So what do you think's going on?" And he's like, the journalist is like, "Well, we think we've got this case blown. We know that it's somebody in this family that's responsible for the girl's disappearance." He's like, and the nephew's like, "Well, are you sure about this?" And the journalist is like, "Yes." And he's like, you need to call the cops immediately. And so the nephew leaves the room, and he comes back, and he sticks a needle in the journalist's neck.
Full of some shit.
Full of some funky-ass shit.
Yeah, because of piss water.
He pissed in a needle and shot it in the dude's neck. And the next scene, the journalist is, like, foaming at the mouth. Now, why don't you explain this? Because this is pretty intense. I'll let you do the intense stuff.
Yeah, he wakes up. Yeah. And he's, like, stiff, can't move, foaming at the mouth. Looks like he's sucking on some jizz or something. And the Nazi nephew, is just fucking beating his head and just laying into him.
Yeah.
And then he knocks him out.
And then he finally reawakes.
Yeah, reawakes and gets water splashed on his face.
In this room, you got to describe this fucking room.
This room, it's in the basement.
Yeah.
It has a big drawn plastic curtain for one side. One side looks like a kitchen.
It looks like a fucking...
Morgue.
Yeah, it looks like a morgue.
On one side.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the curtain, it looks like a bedroom with a big metal cage in it.
Yeah, there's a bed, there's wood paneling, and there's a big-ass cage.
Yeah.
And if this doesn't scream a serial killer's bedroom, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's one side of the room had like green tile, wall to wall. They had a big fucking metal slab, and then they had the fucking cage and the bed that he raped the women at.
Yeah.
And this was intense, man. You got to explain this. This fucking dude was crazy. I called him like the evil Dexter.
Yeah, the reporter was just freaked out with this guy.
Yeah.
He walked behind him, and then he came back and slapped this little band around his neck.
Oh, yeah.
And the reporter thought he's got his neck sliced.
Yeah.
he's ready to go.
Yeah, and then the nephew would finally told the reporter what the hell was going on, and it turns out that the nephew was a serial killer.
Yes.
And he's been killing a lot of people for a long time.
His daddy taught him.
And his dad taught him, like Dexter.
Yeah.
And the nephew told the journalist that he wasn't responsible for all those other deaths. That was his father.
Yeah.
But the nephew, he did his fair share of killing. But like Dexter, he took the bodies on the boat and dumped them. So there's never a trace of anybody that he killed.
Yeah.
And what was really fucked up was that the journalist said when we were having dinner together the other night, I had a girl locked up down here.
I didn't catch that part.
You didn't catch that part?
No.
Yeah, he said, when we were having dinner together, I had a girl locked up down here, and you didn't know.
Yeah, he asked him how many did he kill, and he said he lost count.
Yeah, he said he lost count. And he said something really fucked up. He said that every time that he killed, or every time that he raped a girl, that right after he was done, he always thought, his victims always thought that he was going to let him go. And he said that was the one thing that he got off on, was when he would tell them that they weren't going to be set free, they weren't going to live, that they were going to die. And he said that was the one thing that he really got off on, and that's why he did it.
Oh, man.
And that's why he gave the guy a glass of water. And when he gave the journalist the glass of water, the journalist thought for a minute that the nephew was going to show...
being humane.
Yeah, and then the nephew's like, see, that's what I'm talking about right there.
That feels so good.
Yeah. And right before the nephew was about to off him, the girl with the dragon tattoo emerges. She's like the superhero of the movie.
Yeah, the reporter was the nephew hooked this wire onto the back of the harness that he put around his neck and started cranking his ass up onto the ceiling.
Yeah.
And strangling him, and that's when the dragon tattoo chick came in.
Dragon tattoo
was
chick.
Swinging the Tiger Woods club.
She was pissed off. She's one of his jilted lovers.
Don't you be fucking with my bitch.
Yeah, so she beats this dude's ass, but she beats his ass only enough so he can get away. Which she doesn't stop him. She stares him down, looking at him, and she goes,
kind of jolts at him, get back, yeah.
And then he just runs off. So she sets the dude free. After she sets the journalist free, she goes chasing after the guy.
On her moped.
What I didn't understand, I was like, why didn't you just fucking beat his ass when you had the chance?
Yeah.
He was almost dead. But she let him get up so she can cut the guy down. But the guy, he wasn't, I don't know. He was already down on the ground when she came in and was starting beating that dude's ass. He wasn't in danger.
No.
But anyway, she goes after the nephew. The nephew crashes into a truck carrying some big-ass logs, and then he hits a guardrail and goes down a big hill. And
yeah, just, he's laying on there, and she goes down there and just stares at him. He's like, help me.
Yeah, and she has a flashback.
And this is where you find out why she's on probation.
Because she's a girl that plays with fire.
Yeah, when she was little, her dad didn't buy her Barbie or something, pissed her off. Yes. And she's running out of the house with some
lighter fluid.
Big old thing of lighter fluid, and just poured it on him. And threw a match on him, and his ass burnt up.
I guess that was her dad. I don't know.
Yeah, because we'll get to that part. Yeah, it was.
Okay. But, yeah, she sits there and stares at the nephew that's in the in this crashed Land Rover that he's in. And the gas tank is ruptured, and it's getting ready to explode. He's asking for help, and she's just sitting there staring at him, and she doesn't help him, and he dies. And so she goes back and goes back to the journalist. The cops arrive at the nephew's house. The cops, say, oh, what's wrong? What happened here? And the journalist says, go downstairs. Everything's downstairs.
Get your ass down the stairs.
And so when they go downstairs, they find out that the nephew basically kept records of everybody that he killed.
Yeah.
And these fucking pictures were pretty gruesome because I was actually, when I was in college, I took criminal justice classes, and I actually seen crime scene photos, and these, horror movies, they can make them look like, real life, but these look pretty brutal.
Look pretty real.
Yeah, they look pretty realistic, and this guy was killing girls for, like, decades, and so I don't know why you would have that. I mean, Dexter, he only has the little blood file things. He doesn't have all the shit that this dude does. So he wasn't as smart as Dexter.
No.
But anyways, the journalist talks to the old man who just got out of the hospital, and the old man's like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And the journalist is like, no, the nephew and the father didn't kill the girl. We don't think he did it, because if he did it, he would have said he did it. We forgot that part.
Yeah.
When the journalist was in the basement with the nephew right before he was about to kill him or try and kill him, the journalist asked him about the girl, and he said, no, I didn't kill her. And then that girl was actually his sister, right?
I believe so.
I don't know. There's
yes,
so many,
yes, it was.
It was a sister. Yeah.
It was a sister.
So many fucking family members in this movie.
Damn Nazis.
Yeah. But, the journalist asked him if that was, if he killed her, and he said, no, I wish I did, but she just disappeared. He said, I didn't do it. So he told the old man, no, neither one of them did it. And so that was still a mystery that had to be solved.
And then the journalist went back to his cabin.
Yeah.
And she was gone.
But she left a note.
She left a note where final clue.
Yes.
Of the girl's name.
Yeah.
There's two people. One of them died, and the other one's still alive. And so he followed that clue into Australia.
Now, was that girl? That girl, the missing girl, took her sister's name, right?
Right. I believe so.
I think that's fuck. That's what I couldn't keep track of. There are so many brothers and sisters.
Or she took some dead girl's name or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, I forget what it was, but basically the point is that she was still alive.
Yeah.
They thought that there was a girl named Anita that they thought was dead that died of cancer, but the girl with the dragon tattoo said no. There were two Anitas. One died of cancer, and one actually went to Australia. And so the journalist goes to Australia, and he finds the missing girl. She's an
raising
old
sheep.
She's raising sheep in Australia. She's an old lady now. And so he convinces the lady to come back with him. And then the journalist reunites the missing girl with the old man. And
yeah, she tells the story of why she left. Her father was raping her, and the brother was raping her.
Yeah.
And then she tells him, one day, the father was raping her. He was drinking. She took off running out the door, and she ran down to the dock, tried to get on a boat, and he came after her, and he fell in, and she kept him underneath the water with the oar until he stopped moving. And then the brother saw her do that.
And he was helpless.
Yeah, he was helpless, and I guess she took off running and never was seen again.
See, that's what I didn't get. If this guy was such a brutal murderer, and he saw that his sister did that, which he was just finished, like, brutally attacking her, he wouldn't stop her because she basically said that after that, he was sent to military school.
Yeah.
And then he came back.
Well, maybe he was contemplating his sister's pizza and what he was getting off of his sister. He didn't want to get rid of that. You know, he's a teenage boy. Yeah. Kind of fucked up teenage boy.
Well, though. See, in the movie, they were talking about how the nephew, his father taught him how to kill, and that his father was there when he killed his first victim when he was 16 years old. His father showed him how to strangle a girl.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I don't know.
It's a foreign movie.
It's a foreign movie. Okay, and so when the brother came back from military school, he was looking to get some revenge on the sister. And so Anita helped the girl escape the island by sneaking her out, by hiding her under some blankets. That's what she said.
Oh, in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got past the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was the end of the story as far as the missing girl.
Yeah, and Inspector, whatever.
Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, the reporter.
Yes, he went to prison. Now, this prison, it didn't look like a prison. I just thought he was, like, in his bedroom at his house.
Yeah.
Like, he was sitting there chilling on a bed, reading some books.
Yeah, until I saw the door and the guard come in.
His cell, by the way, had no bars, no doors.
It was beside the front door.
And the guard, he just like knocked on his window, not window. It was like the frame.
The frame of the door.
He knocked on the frame of the door and said, "You got a guest."
You got a guest.
And it was the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, can't even see her woman.
Yeah, actually, we forgot to talk about the scene where the girl with the dragon tattoo goes to visit her mother.
Yes.
Her mother. Why don't you talk about this meeting with the mother?
Yeah, she went there. I guess the mother is in a insane asylum.
Because she got a crazy-ass daughter.
Yeah. And she's like, "Mom, it's me, Elizabeth." And she mom was looking at her, and she's like, "You changed a lot."
You don't say.
And she's like, "I should have got you, should have had you a better father." And she's like, "No, your fault, Mom." So that's all I remember. I was kind of falling asleep.
Yeah, it was just like sappy, emotional stuff. Like, "Oh, do you have a boyfriend?"
Yeah.
She's like, "Maybe." And that's when she goes to visit the journalist.
Yeah.
And she brings the journalist a bunch of books. And at this point, you're like, she's cutting them off. And I was like, "I don't think so." And she goes back and like they like kiss like porn style, like open mouth, like saliva.
Tongue down the throat,
which you could see. It was like, this wasn't like the movie, the film kiss, where it was like closed mouth. This was open mouth, like they're getting ready to do the hardcore penetration, and then she just and then she like got them all worked up, and then she left.
And then without saying goodbye, she just left. She's like, "Huh?"
Yeah, but she actually did bring him some, the reading material that she brought him was more information about the guy that the journalist did a story on the beginning of the movie, the Swedish businessman, the guy that he was found guilty of libel.
Yeah.
And this was some pretty juicy information that he got this time. And actually, this information that he got was legit, and it actually put away it didn't put away the Swedish businessman, because the Swedish businessman actually committed suicide once this journalist got out of prison and wrote a story about the Swedish businessman again, because he got this juicy information from the girl with the dragon tattoo. She helped him out this time, put away that fucker. But we actually forgot to tell the audience that when the journalist was meeting with the nephew in the middle of the movie, when they're having dinner together, he was explaining what happened with that story with the Swedish businessman. Basically, he said that he was fed a lot of information from some sources, and he said the story was coming together, and once the story was printed, all the sources disappeared, and nobody had his back. And so once the story came out, he couldn't prove any of the shit that he published, and that's why he was found guilty of libel, and that's why he was going to be sent to prison. But anyways...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when he was in prison... A girl with dragon tattoo gave him the information about the Swedish businessman. This information actually proved that he was guilty of gun running in third world countries.
So it cleared the other guy, the reporter's name.
Yeah, the reporter served as his prison term, but he wrote another story about the businessman. This time it stuck, and the Swedish businessman committed suicide. Before the Swedish businessman committed suicide... A large portion of his finances were removed from his Cayman Islands bank account. And they showed a video of somebody they suspected on the news of who did this withdrawal. And it was a girl with dragon tattoo.
And I could say she was hot.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, she had blonde hair at this point, and she was dressed like a woman.
A businesswoman.
A businesswoman. And she did look... like a woman, a fairly attractive woman.
Someone I would do.
Yes. See, she had a pretty face, but just everything else just didn't work for me.
Yeah, she was made to look ugly, like a lesbian emo.
Unless you like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, she had a pretty face, but once she, at the end of the movie, when she had the blonde wig, when she went to go take out, she embezzled this money from the Swedish businessman that the journalist read the story about. She looked quite attractive, and she was rich too, yes, because she embezzled all the money.
She's a rich bitch.
And the journalist was sitting there smiling and shaking his head like, "I love that bitch.
That's my woman.
That my girl.
That's my man."
Now, Chucky, girl with the dragon tattoo. Was this the movie of the year for you?
No.
Was it a mind bending thriller?
No.
Was it a 4-star movie?
No.
Was a 3-star movie?
Yes.
Okay. So out of the scale of 5 stars, you give it 3?
Yes, 3 stars.
Yeah, I'll give it 3 stars, too. I think that it was good as far as all the hype surrounding it. You know, that's how hype, you know, hype never lives up to what you think it would be. That's why they call it hype.
Yes, hype.
It is hype. I mean, you know, we shoot straight with the audience. You know,
yes.
If it's good, we'll tell them it's good. If it's okay, we'll tell them it's okay. If it's crap, it's crap. But this was okay. I mean, it's not anything that you don't see on Law & Order, honestly. I mean, would you tell people to actually watch it, to rent it?
If they're into foreign movies, I'll tell them, go ahead and rent it.
Actually, we didn't talk about the foreign previews that were...
Oh, they're like the 20 foreign previews?
Oh, my God. On this DVD, there was like maybe, I'm not exaggerating, probably 10 previews,
yes,
for movies. And one of them just looked gross.
Yeah.
Cloud 9.
Old people doing it.
It was a movie about old people having an affair.
And ugly old people.
Well, ugly old people. This isn't like Sophia Loren or anybody. Like. This was like ugly ass, like uglier than your grandmother ugly.
Yeah, my grandma ain't ugly.
Well, you know, I'm not talking about your grandma. I'm talking about, like, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
This was, like, ugly, ugly. But, yeah, there's tons of fucking previews. They had, like, a Brazilian...
Tranny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the Austin Powers one. Just all sorts of, like, just goofy-ass foreign movies.
the Swedish Austin Powers.
It was, like, the French Austin Powers, but he was in Brazil. But... God, I don't know. I don't know. Do you think that we should do more foreign movies on this show?
Not often.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, we both like foreign movies. I mean, it depends on what it is.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I don't know about that.
But this definitely was a foreign movie. This was like a blockbuster in Europe. Yeah. And it's actually a part of a trilogy. Because that was one of the several previews before the movie actually started was the preview for The Girl Who Plays With Fire, or whatever the fuck it's called. It's like Eclipse, or Twilight, or whatever the fuck it is. This is like, I don't know.
the full moon.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, so they're going to be coming out with sequels to it. I think they're actually making a Hollywood remake of this. I don't know. Who would play the girl with the dragon tattoo?
Lindsay Lohan. She needs a job, I think.
Oh, man.
She needs to pay off her court fines.
You know what I loved about that Lindsay Lohan thing was that she was sitting there crying. She was doing her performance before she was sentenced, trying to save her ass. But then once she was sentenced, she was actually crying. So you could compare her acting and how she really is. It was phony. Everybody knew that she was fucking bullshitting the judge. And you know what was actually bad was she actually thought that the judge was stupid enough to fall for it.
Really?
Man, she's like, oh, I don't know.
I gotta watch that. I missed it.
You missed it?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Maybe we can find that online and talk about that. We gotta do the Hollywood roundup with Chuck.
Yes.
Because you are the man in Hollywood. You're like TMZ, but not an asshole. You're not
Hollywood!
And not with cameras. Everything's off the record with you.
Yes.
But let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do some Hollywood dirt with Chuck. Yeah. You don't like the way she looks in that picture?
It looks like she has a package, man. And she has hips. She has dude hips.
I don't know. I mean, pictures of her before she was Lady Gaga, she looks like she was...
A dude?
I mean, she looks like she was a girl. See, that's her before she was famous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
She don't have no boobs. She has balls.
See, there she is with her like leg kicked up like a dog pissing on a fire hydrant, playing the piano. I mean, she looks like a woman there.
Well, I'll be convinced that she's a woman when she comes to my house and shows me that she don't have balls.
And if she don't got balls, she can play. Let's see. What do you think about Lady Gaga? I think we've had this conversation before, but...
She dresses like a tranny, man.
I like the picture of her when she was in the airport when she had the 6-inch heels on and she fell on her ass. She fell on her face, actually.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
There she is. She's on the Today Show and she's playing in the rain and she looks like Madonna. Like Madonna's ugly little sister.
Wow.
Yeah. See, look at her.
Yeah, she does. Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like Madonna.
Yeah, it looks like Madonna right there.
Yeah.
Dude Gaga.
Dude Gaga. I mean, she's like the biggest thing in music right now.
Yeah, she is. Well, the gays like her, so.
Hold on. Here's before and after. Ugh.
Okay, yeah, see? My point exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay, enough Lady Gaga. Hold on. Here's her hips right here. Look at her hips here.
Look, she looks like she has a dick right there, man. Seriously.
Oh, man. Oh, here's a titty shot right here. Nah, that's not a good one.
I got titties like that.
I take that back. She had a push-up bra.
Give me a push-up bra. I look like I have titties.
Okay, here's a picture of her. Okay, all of these have her with her legs spread open and does look like she has a package, but I'm just saying. Okay, here's a picture of her. I don't know.
She has the body of a dude. That's all I
gotta
say.
I'm saying, I can't find the picture of her that I saw that she looked like. Okay, here's a picture of her ass.
That's a dude's ass. Come on. That's a dude's ass. That looks like my ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. She looks like Christina Aguilera here.
A little, well, the hair. Christina Aguilera got some big old boobies.
She got some big-ass tig bitties.
On her little frame, boy, man. Her man's
okay, here's
fun.
Here's a side profile of Lady Gaga.
Come on. You need to know that looks like a dude's body.
There's one way that you can tell if it's a dude. You know how that, besides, you know, checking the package.
I think you told me that the hand, something to do with the hand.
It's the hand. I mean, if the index finger is longer than the ring finger, it's a chick. If the index finger is shorter than the ring finger, it's a dude. Because if you look at your hand, your index finger is shorter than your ring finger. It's always going to be shorter on a guy. See?
Yeah.
So if you're ever in Thailand... and you're getting some action from this really, really hot chick, but you're not quite sure if it's a dude, take a look at their hand.
Let's see her hand.
And if the index finger is indeed shorter than the ring finger, then you're playing with a dude.
Why is that? That's weird.
That's just genetic, man. I mean, that's with everybody. Go home when you look at Baylin's hand. I guarantee you, her index finger is going to be longer than her ring finger.
Dude, her hand can fit in the palm, just in the palm of my hand. That's how small her hands are.
She's got Ewok hands.
She's my little Ewok.
All right, so we watched the Lindsay Lohan video.
Man.
Now, I told you before the break that before she was sentenced, she did her performance.
Yeah.
And then after she was sentenced, or when she was being sentenced, we saw her really crying.
Yeah, her ugly face crying. Real crying.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you're really crying, you're like...
Yeah, when she was talking to the judge crying...
She was doing her big soliloquy.
Yeah, she's crying, then all of a sudden her voice got calm, and she could talk normal, and then it would come on again. I mean, that you could tell that was acting.
She was doing a performance.
Because she's a bad actress anyways.
But if you actually listen to what she was saying, though, it was complete bullshit.
Yeah, it was making no sense. I thought that if I go to this treatment twice a week, I can miss the next week so I can go to my job and make a living.
What job?
Who knows?
She hasn't made a movie in 3 years. I mean, really, she hasn't made a movie.
Yeah, she hasn't.
The
last movie she made that made any money was probably Herbie.
And your kids hated it.
Yeah, the kids didn't like it.
Jesus Christ. And that was the thing. She was like, you weren't clear on when I had to show up to these treatments.
When the judge says you need to do this, that's clear.
Yes. Yes, when the judge says you need to show up every week, you show up every week. But Lindsay, that's what I loved about watching that. She blamed it all on the judge.
Yeah, she made her own rules up.
Yeah.
This is why it's going to be, Judge.
And she was doing her whole performance the entire time when she was...
The fall of Lindsay.
The fall of Lindsay. But actually, the judge, she just like had enough of her bullshit.
And yep.
She was like, when I tell you, you have to be in treatment every week, you have to be in treatment every week.
No more, no less. Once a week.
Yes. And then she sentenced her to 90 days in jail... And 90 days of treatment now.
And then probation and...
Yeah. 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 She's probably going to get the fucking probation officer from the girl with the dragon tattoo.
It's going to be me.
He's going to tie her up to the bed and... But anyways, I mean, this... I don't think Lindsay Lohan's going to do 90 days in jail. She'll probably do...
A month.
A month, and then she'll be let out.
And she'll fuck up.
Yeah, she'll go to treatment, then she'll fuck up, then she'll be back in jail. She'll probably end up like Robert Downey Jr., where she fucks up so much that they actually have to send her ass to prison.
Yeah, and then we'll see her in 15 years with her new career.
Jesus Christ. Remember when Lindsay Lohan used to be hot?
Oh, yeah, when she had a body?
When she
didn't look like a fucking Ethiopian lesbian?
I mean, she hasn't had the fastest downfall of the hottest girl ever. That would have to be Britney Spears because Britney Spears, I remember in 2003, she was still hot, but in 2004, nobody would touch her.
Yeah.
And then they tried to remake her, but she's still just white trash and you just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Lindsay, she lost some goods that she'll never get back.
Yeah. In 2004, Lindsay Lohan was probably one of the hottest girls on the planet.
Yeah.
And now.
Now she reminds me of Somebody I know.
She's just she's used up and just.
She's a wannabe lesbian. She does drugs. She's an alcoholic. She don't have a driver's license, so she can't drive me anywhere.
She can't take me to McDonald's.
Yeah, and she has her career shot.
I mean, she just. Yeah, it's a damn shame, but that's her own fucking fault.
Like they say, drugs ain't no good for you.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, I guess. That's what I say.
That's what,
only do the good ones.
I only do the good stuff. Now we were promising the good Hollywood dirt. Now Mel Gibson.
Yes.
he was talking some jive on his wife. Now he went on this. I wouldn't say rant. I mean, we listened to it.
I mean, he's pissed off about something I probably would be pissed off about.
Your lady getting some big fake titties.
Well, I'm saying he didn't really know they were fake in the first place. I mean, how would you not know that your woman has fake titties? Did she just get them, or has she had them?
What I got out of the audio was that she got breast implants, and he was concerned about her being able to breastfeed their child with these foreign substances in her body. And that's a fair question.
Yeah.
It's a fair question. And he was just a little more aggressive than he should have been and questioning her over these breast implants. And he didn't approve of the way she dressed. And yeah, I mean, he may have went over the line, especially with the racist comment. You know, I can't condone that. But, yeah, Mel Gibson's rant is all over the internet. And what'd you think of it? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was the rant to you? Because, I mean, we're dealing
with six. It really ain't that big of a deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, isn't a Michael Richards Kramer rant.
Yeah, I don't see why his agent had to drop him because of that.
Yeah, his agent dropped him. See, as far as, you know, in the long history of crazy celebrity rants, I would give this. It was entertaining because I like the way he said, "You're stupid."
Yeah, you're stupid.
You look stupid.
Whore.
Yeah, but I mean, he had the Alec Baldwin rant where he called his daughter a pig and
yeah.
on the phone, and then you had Tom Cruise being all crazy. he's just all sorts of crazy, and then we had Mel Gibson did a rant before this one too, didn't he? Where he was calling the woman that was arresting him sugar tits.
Yeah,
yeah, and the Michael Richards one, like I said before.
And the one when Mel Gibson got pulled over and called a dude a Jew.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
he's a Hollywood star. It's Mel Gibson. Yeah. He's going to think he's all powerful.
I would give the rant a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 because I enjoyed it. It was a good rant. I always love seeing celebrities. This just shows you how fucking batshit crazy they are.
Yeah, and you got Christian Bale acting nutty at the sound man.
Oh, Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was another rant. That wouldn't beat the Christian Bale rant.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's go ahead and end the show. But before we do, I want to mention something that came up in the news recently. We're not... Neither one of us are big sports fans, but, you know, Sean is. He hasn't been on the show in a while because we haven't done a show in a while.
Plays WoW too much.
But LeBron James.
LeBron James.
LeBron James recently announced that he is leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers and he's going to join the Miami Heat. Now, this was such a big deal that they had to devote a one-hour special on ESPN called The Decision.
Of LeBron James,
where he was going to announce to the world which NBA team he was going to play for. Now, this was such a big fucking deal that every news channel had to cover it like it was...
like the president election.
Yeah, like he was fucking being elected to president of I don't know what fucking country. The country, well, I don't give a shit.
Well, his ego is like way up there now.
This guy was a high school basketball player... whose games were being covered nationally.
Man.
he was playing around the country with his high school basketball team. So this guy's ego is fucking off the charts. His nickname is King James. This guy is younger than both of us.
Really?
He's like, I think he's like 25, 26.
So he's more, he's above Michael Jordan right now? Would you say that?
No, because Michael Jordan actually won a championship. and LeBron James didn't. And see, that's the thing with LeBron James.
He was on the A-team, too.
Yeah, okay. LeBron James, the reason why he's leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers is because he wants to play on a team that can win a championship. Michael Jordan didn't have a championship team. He just fucking won those championships by himself.
Yeah.
Because he's Michael fucking Jordan.
Yeah.
He had Scottie Pippen, and that's it. Well, he had Dennis Rodman in the late 90s, yeah. But... yeah, I mean, if you're that fucking great, you should be able to win those championships by yourself.
Yep.
Wilt Chamberlain didn't need to be on a team with other superstars to win a fucking championship. But LeBron James had to. But, I mean, he is King James. I mean, he is the greatest basketball fucking player that's out there right now, I guess, because that's what everybody's telling me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this guy's fucking ego is so fucking big. They asked to have a fucking one-hour special to announce that he's going to the Cleveland, not the Cleveland, he's going to the to Miami Heat, he's leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now this is his wrong fucking move. And this started 6 years ago when he went to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's from Akron, Ohio. I'm from Akron, Ohio, or I lived in Akron, Ohio, and I have family from Akron. But he's from Akron, Ohio, and Akron, Ohio is like basically 20 miles away from Cleveland. So he's lived in Akron, he's living in Northeast Ohio his entire life. And when he made this announcement that he's leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers, people in Cleveland were burning his jersey.
Wow.
They fucking hate this man now. He lives there, he has family there, and now he's made it to the point where he probably can't even walk down the fucking street in Cleveland.
He's going to have to move his family.
Why would you do that? I mean... wouldn't his agent tell him that, hey, man, I don't think this is such a good idea of doing this big, long, drawn-out process of announcing you're going to leave this team that loves you? Was it
like whoever had the biggest offer?
No, because he actually said that he was taking a pay cut to go to Miami. Miami had some other guys that they signed, and Miami's supposed to have a really good squad that should win a championship.
We'll see.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, why would it matter? I know if you're a basketball player, you've got to measure your accomplishments by something. And I guess a championship is how you'd measure your accomplishments of how good you are. If you won a championship, you can say that you're one of the best.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, it would have been more impressive if he would have won it with the Cavaliers, because he could have said that he did it basically by himself. Granted, he had with his
hometown or his people.
Yeah, I mean, he did it by himself or whatever. But he's going to Miami where he's got to share the spotlight with three other superstars. You know, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be a sweep. And the thing about Cleveland is that they held him up as a hometown hero, and now he's a Benedict Arnold. They consider him a traitor, and he's never going to live that down.
I kill you.
I mean, fucking people take their sports very seriously. I mean, there are people that still fucking remember the Curse of the Bambino in Boston.
Wow.
Or I think that's what it's called. I don't fucking know. I don't follow baseball. But, I mean, that was the Boston curse was that when Boston traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees, that the Boston Red Sox were cursed to never win a World Series. And that was fucking like in the early 20th century, you know?
Have they won one yet?
Well, they won one, like, in 2004. No. They won a World Series. But, yeah, I mean...
I don't follow sports.
People that follow sports, they you know, they're really passionate about this shit. And LeBron James, I just don't know what he was thinking by doing this. I mean, as far as a PR move, it's probably one of the worst things that he could have did. Because before this, he had a really good reputation. I mean, he was like the poster boy of the NBA. He wasn't thuggish at all. I mean, he was used in a lot of ads. He still will be, but it's just...
I think his career is going to kind of linger down a little bit.
Well, yeah, now it will, because now they see just, you know.
No, yeah, there's a lot of. See, the fans is what makes your career, too.
Yeah, I mean.
Makes your money, and yeah.
That was part of his appeal, is that he was the hometown hero of Cleveland, because, I mean, he grew up there. I mean, he was playing professionally there. He made the Cavaliers a contender, but now that he left, you know, the fucking owner of the Cavaliers is pissed off at him. And I mean, because he didn't tell anybody in the Cleveland Cavaliers that he was leaving. He basically made them watch that stupid ass show.
Oh, wow.
That decisions show. So everybody had to find out at the same time. That's how much of a fucking egomaniac this guy is, that he has the audacity that he thinks, well, I mean, we're talking about it, so I guess we care, but we have a radio show and we got to fill up time, so we got to talk about something.
Yeah.
But no, he's got that much of an ego that he has to have one hour special to announce where he's going.
I can't believe he didn't have the balls to go to his team players and be like, hey, man, I'm doing this. Sorry.
Yeah. What a cocksucker. But anyways, let's end the show, because my voice is just about gone. But any final words?
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs, kids. Anyways, see you later.
Later.